This ESPN Chicago podcast is presented by 19 Crimes Wine.
This is Waddle and Sylvie, live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
WMVP. WSHE. HD2 Chicago.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day.
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
That's right, Michael Wilbon, normally on Wednesday, but today's the perfect day to talk to him because he had the one-on-one with LeBron yesterday, and tonight's the night that he looks to break the record. And he's brought to you by Waddle's Guys.
HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW. All in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big, and Northwestern Athletics.
And Michael Wilbon, who normally, like I said, joins us Wednesday at 5 o'clock, joins us now on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Michael, you have interviewed all the greats. And you've seen it all, but still, when you get the call and you sit down with LeBron one-on-one as he is on the verge of breaking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record, do you ever still flash back and say, boy, I was the guy, the kid on the South Side who grew up, and I'm sitting across the way from the guy who's about to become the number one all-time leading scorer in NBA history? Is it still cool for you?
It is, Sylvie. And part of it is because, and particularly in basketball now, and people are such prisoners of the moment. People come up to me and say, hey, you covered basketball. I've covered all of it for a long time. It's more basketball now than anything else. But I've sat down like that, and somebody put a reel of it out there, and I looked at it, and I was like, God, it means I'm old, too. But I sat like that with Michael. And I sat like that with Kobe, and I sat like that with Magic. Now, Magic is more of a co-worker situation because we are the same age, and have worked together a ton. And with LeBron reminded me that we've been doing this for 20 years. And I'm very thankful that he trusts me enough to want to sit down and be as candid as he was. And I got a lot of feedback from colleagues and from people and just in the basketball industry saying, wow, LeBron was really candid, and I—that's what I felt. I even on somebody asked me to write a caption for Instagram or something, and I said, "Just call it candid with the king." I just thought he was that, and I like that about him. I just think of the people I've gotten to interview over the years, and they include, it goes back to the end of Ali for me. It goes back to boxers. It goes to track and field people. It goes, Ben Johnson and Carl Lewis. It goes back to a lot of people. LeBron is in the all-time list of people that when you're talking to or sitting to interview that you just feel like, yeah, that was something good. Because he's candid, he's listening. He's not giving you cliches and he's not going in with an agenda. You ask him a question, you're going to get an answer. Well, you may not like it, and people, there are times this year when LeBron got upset because he said people didn't ask him about something that was, controversial to the culture. LeBron's going to tell you what he's thinking. And what more do you want from somebody that you're interviewing than that?
And Michael, how would you describe the development or the evolution of LeBron James as a human being? And here's a guy never been in trouble, always had the spotlight on him going all the way back to high school, and has done what he has done. As you've gone through the years with LeBron, how would you describe just how he's become who he's become?
He grew up before our very eyes. Without making any major mistakes, people say, "Well, the whole thing where I take my talents to Miami." I'm like, "Shut up!
That's not trouble."
If you think that's trouble, then let's look at your own family. he didn't make missteps. He didn't really have any of them. And I know that takes a lot of crafting. He very famously surrounded himself with a sort of a group of people. Who people could say, well, they're just yes men. No, they're not. They're smarter than that. And they still, to this day, are among his best friends. And I run into them. I know who they are. I have relationships with a couple of them. personal relationships. And he understands sort of the responsibility. He understands the responsibility he's charged with. But if I'm going to put a tattoo that says the king on, I got to live up to it. And I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want it. First of all, I'm pretty sure I couldn't handle it. And when I was 18 and 21 and 24 and 27 and 35, and I couldn't have handled that. It's amazing. He grew up. And he grew up in a more responsible way than most of us. The overwhelming majority of us grow up. And I've told him, we've talked about that. And that the basketball with me with LeBron is secondary. And people will talk about the GOATs and all that. We're talking about the Mount Rushmore this morning. My friend started again, who's on your Mount Rushmore. Hmm. And I pretty standardly say it's Russell, Magic, Jordan, and LeBron. And then sometimes I feel guilty for not having Kobe on. And maybe I should have Kobe. And then sometimes people say, well, how can you not have Kareem on? And I'm like, well, who are you going to kick off? And you play that game, and it's fun when you're involved in sports. What I have said to LeBron, and I'm revealing private moments, I'm like, dude, all this is good. I'm impressed with who you are, who you are, and what you do and what you stand for. And he seems to – that it means something to him. And it means something to me to say it to him in the first place.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten into a room with a guy – who you really respect, and you were looking forward to speaking with them, and you were mentioning the listening part, because that's really key. And then that person that day, for whatever reason, just didn't have it, and you're like, boy, that sort of fizzled.
Yeah, but that could happen even with people that you love talking to. It, just like a performance, or maybe I'm off.
Do you feel that way when you talk to us every week?
Only once a month, you guys know I don't feel that way. But, I mean, that happens. But it happens on both ends. And that's when a day like yesterday really jumps out. Because he is on the verge of passing Kareem. He's been in the news for all kinds of reasons this year. There's the Tom Brady stuff. And I asked LeBron about Tom Brady. If you guys haven't seen the full interview, you should go and check it out. It's actually on my Facebook page. But it's also on YouTube. Go and listen to what LeBron has to say about Tom Brady. And one of the great things about talking to some of the people that I've just mentioned, okay, specifically, like, if people think that Michael Jordan only pays attention to basketball, they would be such fools. Like, their entire conversations I've had with Michael that last for a long time where basketball doesn't come up. Because he's completely, he can be as obsessed with other sports. No matter which one of them. Magic, the same way. People sometimes say, what do you watch? What do you guys watch together when you're in this famous green room? I'm like, I don't know. We could be watching the Tigers and the White Sox because Magic's the Detroit guy and we watch in baseball. And that's the case with LeBron. LeBron's a sportsaholic. And so you can ask him about Tom Brady. And he's not going to say, well, what did Brady do last Sunday? I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. No, he's paying attention. And so people should look at it. I didn't get into lots of other sports. I didn't get into Tom Brady with him because it was appropriate, given that, a 38-year-old basketball player and nothing's equal to a 45-year-old football player. But 38 and playing basketball is impossible, especially at the level LeBron's playing at. And he has a relationship with Tom Brady. They talk. It was interesting to hear him reveal some of that.
Michael, how important is this record in the grand landscape of sports?
I don't think it's all that important in the number. Nobody knows what the number is. LeBron even said, I know it's 38,000 something. And that's, again, honest and candid and not trying to hype himself. I don't know what the number is. I don't care what the number is. The numbers are only important in baseball. And people in our industry, the company we work for, have, in a phony, very annoying way to me, tried to make everything a number and a record. And I stop and say to people, it's not a record. He's the first to get there. It doesn't make it a record. This is a record for the number of 2010 games in a row on the weekend. No, it's not a record. But this is what we do. We live in a culture in which everybody wants to make something a record so it can happen when they were alive. Sorry, pal, Ruth has a record and you weren't alive. And so the number doesn't mean anything. But the fact, and I said this to LeBron in the interview, I said, okay, this is not a question, it's a comment. And you can tell me if I'm crazy, but to me, what's way bigger than passing Kareem is passing Kareem and Magic at the same time. In the same year. That's like being the home run champ and hitting 400. And he said, he agreed. He said, no, I'm not going to tell you crazy. He agreed with me because he never set out to score. That's not what LeBron did. He never dreamt of it. He says that. Never dreamt of it. Never sat in my bedroom thinking about it. He said, I cared as much about passing, making the pass that led to the goal, led to the basket. And anybody who's watched him play knows he's not making it up. That's how he plays. That's how he's always played.
Wouldn't it be cool to tonight, like Waddle and I are both interested in this game. We put a little wager down on it. He needs 36. Like if this is a close game and he needs all 36 points to help the team. Do you know what I mean? Like it's one thing if you stop a game and it's in the first quarter because he needs 8 in the next game. But it's something like if it's late fourth quarter and it's a 4-point game and a basket late breaks it. Like to me, that makes it more dramatic and more fun. Like that's why I'm interested. Yeah.
It's all the drama you need. You don't need anything else. I don't know. The marketing people probably have convinced somebody they have to stop the game. You know, the marketing people are all just dreadful, loathsome human beings. And by and large, I know a few nice ones. But yeah, what do you, Sylvie? Come on, you know I'm not going to disagree with that. I mean, that's what it is. The drama of sports is the real essence of sports. Not marketing people saying let's stop the games, we can put a cape on them. But that's what they'll do.
Hey, Michael, speaking of NBA drama, your thoughts on Kyrie being traded to Dallas?
I am persuaded by people I talk to and believe in and listen to that in the short-term bump, he and Luka, because of the way they play, they could really give Dallas a boost and they could push each other. There's one Hall of Famer I talked to. I'm not going to name because the conversation was off the record. But he said to me, you think that each guy is going to come in his Sunday best because he's playing with this guy now as a teammate and that's going to help the team? And I said, no, I get that. I do. Now, is that the same as a long-term boost? No. And what does it mean for the team ultimately? Can they share the basketball and play together? This person and others I talked to think they can. But I've also talked to people in the game, even now, who think they won't. So it's intriguing, man. It's a hell of a laboratory experiment. I can't wait to start watching that, too.
But you know it's just a matter of time till he's unhappy again.
There's
correct?
An expiration.
Yes, that's my – look, you know, what do I tell you guys every week? We talk about this every week starting in October. Well, they're off to a good start. Fill in the blanks. You know, the Celtics, the Nets, they're off to a good start. Kyrie, you're like, yeah, well. He's going to take a week off to go to somebody's birthday party, then what? I don't trust him. He's toxic. Yeah. He's a great, 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 great basketball player. For the last 6 weeks, he's been one of the five best players in the league. And he can't even coexist with a guy who's a top five player in the game now. Could be the MVP this year. I don't trust him.
We were trying to think of this. We were bringing up guys who have talent like him, but just the being the teammate that he is too made him tough. Like I thought the name T.O. was a really good one.
Antonio Brown. I mean, he was taping his coach's postgame speech with half the locker room nude. And he's streaming it live. I mean, it looks like he betrayed the hell out of Tom Brady, who let him stay in his house. Antonio Brown's on the marquee of that. There's some guys in every sport that you just go, what a plague, what an awful human being. And it's up to Kyrie now to get out of that. Can he get himself? Can he win enough at a high enough level where people forget what he hasn't been and return to talking about what he is.
Yeah. Are you hearing any rumors or any is there anything going on with regard to our favorite NBA basketball team here in Chicago? What do you
hear? I'm sure you guys hear it too. You know that there are people who are mentioning Zach and trade rumors with the Lakers, and people are talking about Vooch and, you know, where he might go and what could he fetch, and you know, you hear all these things. I don't know that any of them are all that serious. You know, meant to be taken seriously at this point. The Bulls are just. I am going to take credit for one thing. I said to you guys, I think in November, when they had already beaten some really good teams, maybe the best teams, and then they would lose to San Antonio and lose to Houston. And I would say, I think this is just who they are. They're destined to be great against some great teams and lousy against some lousy teams, and they're not going to break the pattern. They can't. They can't. They're a game under 500, right? They can't break the pattern. This is who they are. So I don't have any faith in them. None. I'm not going to put faith in them. Because I don't believe in them, but you know, and again, you know, Zach can look like an all-league player one night, and then two nights later, he kicks it away on an inbounds pass, and he looks like somebody that you don't even want on your team at a moderate salary, much less $215 million. And this is just who they are. They're not going to break that cycle this year. They're not.
It's crazy. What are your Super Bowl plans?
I'm going to sit in my house in Arizona, where I am now. And watch the Super Bowl. I'll probably be a few people over, but I don't believe in Super Bowl parties. I'm not there for the commercials and the dip. I watch the game. I want to watch the game.
I don't believe in Super Bowl parties
and the dip.
I don't. I don't care about the commercials, which are all phony and awful, and hyped up by either marketing people or people like my dear friend Tony Kornheiser, who try to make a big deal out of the commercials because he used to write about them when he was a journalist. The commercials are phony and they're awful.
Charles coming over to watch the game?
No, Charles has a thing, and I shouldn't reveal what it is. But
goes to Vegas.
People can see him. He goes. He's a Vegas guy.
Yeah,
goes to Vegas.
But wait, when you went to the White House, wasn't that a Super Bowl party?
Yes, it was. Yes, but you can't turn that down.
How was the dip?
Oh yeah.
How was the dip there?
I refused the dip.
You did,
but I did. But I will tell you this. I will tell you this.
I refuse to dip, Mr. President.
If I haven't revealed this to you guys already, I will reveal it to you without editing another time. It was great to be with President Obama and just a crew of people watching the Super Bowl. And the first thing out of his mouth was, and this was a month after the Bears had lost the NFC title game to the Packers at Soldier Field. And he just said, can you believe the – and we talked on Super Bowl 20, whatever it was. It must have been like Super Bowl – I don't know. That's been how many years ago? 13 or something 20, like that?
2011. It was – so it was – this was Packers-Steelers?
Yes. Packers-Steelers. And we talked about the Bears, and the Bears and the Packers for like a half an hour. It was great.
So I was going to ask you, when you're watching the Super Bowl with the President of the United States, the language is still rated R.
Come on, we play golf together. You know the language cannot be, PG language would be so disappointing.
Just because you're an important person doesn't mean you don't swear.
Gosh darn
right,
it, that was a bad football play.
Right.
I didn't know.
That's right. I mean, it's great. It was just So that's the highlight of my Super Bowl life, being able to watch in the White House. Be invited to attend a Super Bowl party. That Super Bowl party with that president, and so it was a thrill. But that's it. I've instructed my wife, don't ever do this. Don't ever have a Super Bowl party. I will walk. I will leave. I will leave the house.
There will be no Super Bowl partying unless it's at the White House.
Exactly.
That is.
I just don't want to be. I don't want to be responsible.
You know that's a high standard right there. You set a high standard. You know,
bar you cannot.
I am not having anyone over here except for the president.
Well, I mean, he hasn't been to my house for the Super Bowl party. I've been to his, but I'm going to stay here in Arizona. It's supposed to be kind of a coolish day, 65 and sunny. Like it is today. I'm sitting.
Do you have a strong feeling as to who will win this game?
No. And you know what? And Tommy, I don't know if this means I'm just old and crotchety. I don't know who's going to win the game. I don't care. I don't have a horse in it. I don't have a rooting interest. I don't. So of the people I know more Chiefs because I know Andy Reid, you know, a little bit from my days of covering the NFL. I don't know anybody on the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't. There were some Philly people at my house. A couple of my close and dear friends from Philly will be because they're staying here. They'll wind up being 10 to 12 people watching a game with me. I will banish them to a guest room. They are not allowed in the main me room.
No.
For the Super
Stay
Bowl.
Out.
But I don't know any Eagles. I don't.
They're both pretty likable teams, too.
Seem like it. Nobody's dislikable.
Yeah.
It's not like anybody's a Memphis
there's
or
no,
Grizzlies.
Yeah, there's no villain.
No. But I don't have a team that I'm rooting for. And I think I'll just mosey in like a minute before the game and sit down. What are you guys picking?
I think I'm going to take I think I'm going to pick the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take game, obviously.
I'm a sucker for great players like everybody, and I think Patrick Mahomes is by far the best player in the league at this point. And
wow.
I like what they do. I like what he does.
I just think that when you have a defensive front like that, and they can get after the passer, Mahomes may have a little more trouble than they had
last question.
Week.
No question. Well, when they got blown out by the Bucs a few years ago, granted they had a litany of offensive line injuries.
They got receiver issues now.
Yeah, they do. But that Philadelphia pass rush.
You could take that 87 jersey, big man. You could take that and show up in the tunnel, and they might tell you to report to a huddle.
Second reference to him.
That's right. I'll be there.
You reporting.
Listen, if you can get me on the field, I'll show up.
No, you won't. You'll have a Coors Light in your hand. You know that.
On the field.
That'd be so great. That'd be so great to see Tom Wallace.
Hey, what are you doing here? I don't know. Mike Wilbon sent me out.
Split out wide. Split out. Now in the slot. You know him,
Michael told me to come out here. I don't know. Mike said he invited me out here.
Good Super Bowl commercial
I don't know which one of us would faint dead away the quickest, Sylvie or me. That'd be
yeah. All right, enjoy those commercials that you love so much. Well,
and the company. And the company.
And the dip.
Yeah. Loads of marketing people. All right, you guys have fun. Happy Super Bowl.
Yeah, good job. There's Michael Wilbon. He is one of a kind, and he joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. We appreciate CarX for the support and the partnership. They are now a part of the ESPN 1000 family, and we have created the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. It is a match made in heaven. Absolutely great partnership. All right, coming up next, if you want to weigh in on anything you heard, 312-332-3776. I have some possible nightmare fuel for Bulls fans. And there is someone on the show who may say, I told you so. I told you so when they hear this report. It's coming up now.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
The NBA leader in scoring and steals. An all-star each of his four seasons. The charismatic star of the Chicago Bulls.
Setting a screen for Larry Bird against Lever. Wow!
He's not being a very gracious host to this West Ball Club.
No. And a steal by Jordan. He spun it away from the mailman.
Now this is something Doug Collins coaches the Chicago Bulls players to do, to try and come from the rear to block the shots of the bigger players.
He leads the NBA in steals. Is there anything he can't do?
In a league of stars, in a game of stars, you were the star of stars. Congratulations on being the 1988 All-Star MVP.
Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
This day, 35 years ago, Michael Jordan was the most valuable player of the NBA All-Star Game. That makes this the third consecutive show, Waddle, where it is Happy Michael Jordan Day.
I think every day here on ESPN 1000 is Happy Michael Jordan
Day. We had 2-3-23 for Michael Jordan Day.
Completely made up.
Yesterday was the day, the anniversary, when he won the slam dunk competition at the Chicago Stadium. And today is the day where the torch was passed to him with him winning the most valuable player at the Chicago Stadium. And it rocked over there.
Nothing moved on me when any of that happened. But I do understand why today and yesterday are things that do inspire some emotion from people.
Yes.
What transpired on February 3rd was just nonsense.
I sat there in the mezzanine level.
These are actual anniversaries of accomplishments.
Yes. I was a junior in high school, and I sat with my grandfather at the Chicago Stadium for both the slam dunk competition and the All-Star Game.
You were a lucky young lad.
I was very lucky, yes. My grandfather was an original season ticket holder, the Chicago Bulls in the 1966-67 season.
Yeah.
And then my uncle, my grandfather's son, picked up the tickets and then would purchase them for my grandfather. My grandfather always took me. I was very lucky that he would
allow me to go. Was there a Bulls mascot back then?
Benny, yeah.
Oh, Benny. So Benny was around even
Benny
then?
Benny was always around.
Did he give you the popcorn trick?
He was more of a fat, joyful Benny who wasn't doing a lot of gymnastics.
We're mascot shaming now, size wise.
No,
it was back in the day of the 80s. Yeah,
like in the 70s, you had a Benny the Bull who was more of a bull who would just walk kids around the stadium, wouldn't really do any running, wouldn't do any jumping. Thin Benny. Then there was this big fat Benny. And he would shake his stomach and stuff like that.
So that was kind of his move, was to shake his belly.
Yeah. And then
I feel like that's the move of a lot of big guys, shake their belly.
And then I think there was a time when there was a fat Benny, a skinny Benny, and then you got double.
Ugh.
And then that guy was doing a bunch of drugs.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
That's a good move.
And then I told you there was always
Good for the kids.
There was this one guy named Superfan. I always told you about this guy. You know what Superfan did? Whenever the Bulls would go on a run, and this was before Jumbotrons, before like all the different things they would do, before Jock Jams, they would call timeout. Like they would say, timeout Spurs! Bulls are on like a 10-0 run. And they'd say, ladies and gentlemen, here comes Superfan. And it was this guy who would do a lap around the stadium and he would give everybody a high five as he would sprint around the stadium.
Wow.
The stadium. And that was...
And you wanted to be super fan, didn't you, at some point?
And then they would play the Lone Ranger music over the loudspeakers as this guy would sprint around the Chicago Stadium high-fiving people.
What did you think was the coolest part of it? Was it Fat Benny shaking his belly or was it Superfan running around high-fiving?
Superfan. You would stick out your hand. You would hope that he would slap your hand.
Wow.
Sports dork. Right there. Sports dork.
No, but like, again, today and yesterday, I get it.
Yeah, right.
The other day, not so much.
This was a big day when Jordan won the MVP in front of his home crowd.
I get it.
By the way, DeMar DeRozan ruled out tonight. That's not good for our bet. We have a bet tonight. The Bulls on the money line because on DraftKings, they've got... If they go up 10 at any time, you win your bet.
That's right.
And they're playing the Grizzlies.
That sucks.
What's wrong? What's his issue right now?
It's a hip issue.
He's tired of carrying his old team around.
He hasn't been scoring a ton these days.
That's because they're letting Vooch cook.
And Mr. Drummond.
Come on, that's silly. Like, it was fantastic, but stop.
Do you want this intel from Casey Johnson?
Of course.
So Casey says in his article from NBC Sports Chicago.
I'm expecting nothing, by the way.
That's what you're going to get. It sounds like. He says that the core, as of now, about less than 48 hours away, the deadline is, Tyler, is it at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock on Thursday?
I believe it's 2 o'clock.
So it's 3 Eastern, 2 Central.
So right at the start of our show on Thursday is the trade deadline. According to Casey, as of now, and he prefaces it by saying it's all fluid, but as of now, it doesn't look like...
It's all fluid, all right.
The three core members of the Bulls are going to be dealt. And he says, a source said no serious offers have been fielded for any of the core pieces right now.
That's comforting.
So, Io, Kobe, and Drummond?
No, that would be Vooch, Levine, and DeRozan. And this is where you get validated, Meller. He says, the Bulls remain confident in their ability to re-sign Vucevic,
oh,
who is having a strong season in his contract year. And this is exactly what you said. Trading away Wendell Carter Jr. and two first-round picks to lose Vucevic for nothing would be harmful, and management appears intent on not letting that happen.
The signs of a well-run organization.
Where, you know what? Where's the super fan running around high-fiving us? By the way, you can still
here
bet on.
Here comes Superfan.
There goes the Bulls' chances. Oh, like a little kid, you are just out of your chair.
Like, I was like, "Where is this guy running around?" This was the in the break timeout entertainment. There were no Jesse White tumblers.
I'm trying to get a bet down now as you're going down memory lane. I'm trying to get on a leading score for Zach. I mean, Zach's going to take 500 shots tonight now, isn't he? Like, isn't Zach going to take 500 shots?
Yeah,
but
you're right.
Make them.
I think so.
I don't know, but if you shoot 50 of them and you still make 20 of them,
we've seen those games.
Those are 40. Those that's games. 40 points. He didn't
have a big game last night, did he? He didn't score a lot of points last night.
I just bet $5 on Zach LaVine to be the leading scorer of tonight's game. It's plus 380.
Okay,
that's not bad value.
Well, and then who's in, who's out for Memphis?
I think everybody's available.
Everyone's in. Yeah.
Everyone's
are there
in.
Bigs, is Steven Adams back or is he still out? Because this is a game where Vooch usually doesn't come through big against like a strong physical team like this.
I think Steven Adams is training for a fight with Shannon Sharp right now.
I think the entire Memphis basketball team is ready to throw down these days.
They're always ready to fight these days. That's what Casey says. He does say this, though, and this is where I always argue with Friedel about the value of Zach LaVine. He does say LaVine's continued upward trajectory this season could make him attractive to suitors near the NBA draft in June, the other historically active time for trade talks.
Okay. I mean, that sounds very viable. Where's the upward trend? Like, I haven't seen. That's one of the reasons why I'm a little disappointed. I don't see the upward trend.
I think he had a good January. We were like, that's why I've been disappointed early here in February. He had a decent January where he was averaging like 26 or 27 points
per
game. Right.
He averaged 26 per game in January.
Yeah.
And that was up from the 24.5 that he averaged in December,
right,
which was up from the 20 that he averaged in November.
Right. How many of those points were in crunch time, or was that turnover time?
It's usually fourth
quarter.
That's
turnover time.
No, you're right. It is turnover time. He doesn't usually get a ton when you need. He's not a clutch player. He's not a smart player.
Like, that's like, you can give me 26 points, but like, when you turn it over five times in the final 3 minutes, like, I'm not giving you extra credit for the 25 you scored. Just saying.
It's just so predictable, though. Do you want the Bulls to re-sign Vooch, or would you rather him leave and get nothing?
I'd rather just not compound the bad move. I want them to trade him at the deadline and get something for him, recoup a pick for him, because I do believe you could get a pick for him. But if you're going to lose him for nothing, I don't want to re-sign him, because I don't think you're going to get him for cheap or like a hometown
discount.
No,
not at all, because he's going to be one of the better free agents on the market. So he will definitely command a pretty hefty sum. And I'm with you. I think that's a problem.
Yeah, run the offense through Vooch. Run the offense through Vooch, everybody.
Come on, give me the music. Let's do this. Let's run around the stadium. Woo!
Hi-ho, summer!
All right. We're the 9 seed? This is where we're the 9 seed?
We are now.
Convincingly the 9 seed?
With the arrow pointing up.
This is where we check in, though, with Tyler. Does he even know what the Lone Ranger is?
Do you know who the Lone Ranger is?
No.
Indiana Jones.
The Lone Ranger is not Indiana Jones.
No. Have you heard this music before, Tyler?
Yes, I have.
Okay. It's the Lone Ranger theme song.
Just at a frat party in Syracuse, and he didn't understand why it was being played.
To be fair, though, hi, guys. I've never seen The Lone Ranger. I'm just aware of the music and its context.
I want to say that a lot of The Lone Ranger was black and white television.
Yeah, like, I've never seen. Like, The Lone Ranger, that's got to be pushing 70 years, 60 years. Come on, guys.
Like, it was on when I was a kid, but I never
like
consciously
I said, 70
knew.
70 years, 60.
Yeah, very funny.
I'm getting dinged for a black and white film here.
No, you're not getting dinged.
It was a television show,
wasn't
it?
First came on in 1933.
That was before a World War.
This is what I meant when we had limited options as children. We had no iPads, no cable television. We were kids in Waddle in the 60s, me in the 70s, and we were watching shows that were still 20, 30 years old.
I think we get a Lone Ranger costume and have Tyler dress like that for the big game Zoom party.
Yes, will you do
it? The Lone Ranger is an American Western television series that ran from 1949 to 1957, starring Clayton Moore with Jay Silverheels as Tonto. The live-action series initially featured something other than that, and it was great. That's all it says. It was great.
It was great. All right, we're going to crosstalk with Black and Abdal. Don't forget the big game pregame. Coming to Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. This is a Twitch-only exclusive broadcast this Sunday from noon to 2. Make sure you're there on our Twitch channel. Black and Abdal with us coming up next.
Hey, are you ready for the biggest Sunday in sports? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 57, don't step on my foot, has all the Super Bowl action you need. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly, plus all customers can get in on the Super Bowl 57 excitement with DraftKings Happy Hour Super Boosts. Check the DraftKings Sportsbook app every day between 5 and 8 p.m. to see what prop bet will be boosted. How about this one, Abdallah? I got the Chiefs on the money line. I got an anytime Isaiah Pacheco touchdown. I've got Patrick Mahomes to throw two or more touchdown passes in under 53.5. That's plus 650. I like it. Download the DraftKings Superbook, Sportsbook, rather. It's Superbook for me, but Sportsbook for you. App and use code WMVP. New customers can bet $5 on Super Bowl 57 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code WMVP. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 and older, Illinois only. Bonus issued as free bets. Opt-in required for odds boost. Bet type and amount limits vary. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms.
Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app. Listen to the show in HD at 100.3 HD2 FM. Listen now on ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie, ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Black and Abdallah, crosstalking with Waddle and Sylvie. Got a full ride today. But what'd you guys make of the Aaron Rodgers little 4-day trip that he's going to be going on in a dark room?
He's a weirdo.
Yeah.
And he loves the publicity.
I don't know. He's just, he craves attention. I don't know.
Okay. Does he love the publicity or we love to hear from him?
I don't.
Because he's just asked the questions.
I do not love hearing
Do you think that if Pat McAfee was like, hey, guess what? We're not going to pay you anymore. He would stop doing it. Like he's only answering the questions he's being asked. So like if there was
but he makes himself available. You can be a star and not be available.
No, I understand that, but they offered to pay him a bunch of money, I assume.
Yes.
And so he's doing it for that reason.
Is Tom Brady clogging up all your Twitter feeds too these days? Have you seen all that?
I've had a cleanse. He retired.
Really?
He's done. Yeah.
He's more active now than he's ever been.
The crotch shot out.
Yeah, you like that.
We're getting his
piece.
We each ordered a pair. Yeah. Did you?
Yeah.
We're going to test them on next week. Night. Yeah.
Extra so large.
We got a pair coming. We're each going to put them on and do some lunges.
Yeah. Did you get the what styles did you get?
Only one. We got basically what's the equivalent of like black and dark gray.
Yeah, I wanted
I meant style.
But
I meant style.
There's only one style. Boxer brief. Yeah.
Is his face on any part of it?
No, tight.
Yeah, there's a little smiley face right.
Yeah, right where little Tommy would be hanging.
It would be.
But why's it gotta be?
It would be funny.
His name. Was it gotta be little though?
If it was a goat and the horn is where the opening is.
Oh, there you go.
He even said he said something about like. You know, there was another one of like some models, and he was like, if this gets 40,000 likes, I'll recreate these shots in unrelated news. Where can I buy more socks?
Like I said, he's clogging your Twitter feed now.
But it's that's different. I find that at least find that humorous as opposed to what like Rogers is doing.
Yeah, like, Rogers is loving the attention.
Yeah, like Brady's. I know he's got a podcast, but he had the podcast beforehand. But like he's not out here. You know, talking about doing ayahuasca and like doing all this other weird stuff. He's just like, yeah, I had a brand before I retired.
I think Sylvie believes he's going to come back, don't you?
He's going to piss Black off and he's going to be playing next year, Black. You're going to be watching him play football.
Who, Brady?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's certainly possible. I still stand by. My thought at the start of this week when celebrations around the world were lighting up to celebrate Brady's career, that the teams have not gotten desperate yet. Teams that need quarterbacks will come calling towards Tom Brady. I'm convinced. I agree with you.
Didn't he say 100%. He wanted to spend time with his family? Like, he must not like his kids.
So did Michael. Michael said that, too.
Yeah.
He's got nobody telling him no anymore. That voice, the Giselle in the back of his mind going,
I'm with you. He's
going
to be back. There's going to be a team that's desperate, San Francisco.
Don't do it.
That needs a quarterback to make a title run.
We love the kids.
Is that your Giselle voice?
Doesn't she have a, we love the children. Come hang out with me and the children.
That's exactly how she sounds.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
That's pretty good.
Something tells me there's a little more edge to the voice when she's saying
that. We love the children, Tom.
Better.
Come hang out with the children.
Yes.
Do not leave me with the children, Tom.
Or it's over.
They're separated.
Exactly. So now he's like, yeah, whatever. Maybe I do want to play.
And they're divorced.
He's
it's
official.
He's like waiting for the voice. He's like, okay, I guess I'm going to go play.
Yeah.
Like,
she's got a boyfriend, too.
He's got a girlfriend.
That was quick, wasn't it? Wasn't that quick? They moved on.
Well,
they both moved on pretty quickly.
Yeah, they're rich
That's
the way
it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
Rich people
he's
doesn't
Tom
matter.
Brady, come on.
Someone else takes care of the logistics. You just show up.
You think he's putting out peen pics without someone there? I mean, come on.
That's how it is.
He's doing what?
Yeah,
putting out peen
you heard
pics.
Him.
Pics of his peen. It's a lot cleaner than a lot of stuff you guys say.
Yeah, it's true.
Offend you?
No, not at all. Not at all.
I do like that term, though. That's
not
good.
At all. That's what he's... I mean, because when I say it like that, it means they're classy. He's got it covered a little bit.
Yeah.
He's wearing boxer briefs. As well,
I don't know why...
The ones that rhyme with picks.
Yeah.
That we can't say. We can't say that.
I don't know. How does that factor into anything?
What? Well, if it was the ones that rhyme with picks, they're unsolicited. It's like weird looking, probably. It's deflated.
Yeah, there's no Photoshop. Yeah. There was Photoshop done in this one.
Oh, my God, yeah. The smoothing on the face?
The face was...
Come on.
Oh, really?
Oh, come on.
Zoom in on his face. His face looks fake.
Yeah.
Faker than it usually does.
Yeah.
So this is what the Kardashians do, too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Fit. Like, when you see no wrinkles on a face, you're like, that is not...
We can use this sort of...
You could. It's quick. It's called a face tuner or something like that.
We need that.
Is that what it's called?
They have
face
filters
tuner?
For it.
Is that what...
The day I do that is officially the day I have too much time on my hands.
Well, he's retired. That's why.
Yeah.
He's sitting around.
He's got somebody doing it for him. He's not doing it.
That's my point.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Rich guys.
Filters.
He's smoothing out his forehead. Waddle's trying to make sure his face doesn't look like someone put a fire out with a fork on it.
I don't care. Like, I'm not doing that. That's what I'm saying. The day I do that is the day I officially know I have too much time
on
my head. Don't care.
Still so red.
They give you a Jay Cutler, not a Tom Brady. Don't care.
See, I feel like Jay doesn't care, though. Like, if Jay would have gone this route with the modeling and stuff like that, like, of his own products, which he does a little bit. He's wearing the hats and stuff, but he doesn't care.
No, see, he seems secure
in
his skin.
Yeah.
Where Brady seems like he has he's on a pedestal, but it could be a little shaky.
I don't get it either, because he's such a handsome guy to begin with. Why are you messing with...
But probably he, like, deep within him, he's still the, like, kind of chunky kid that entered the draft that wasn't supposed to be any good. So he's
got to get
insecure.
You got to get rid of that circus mirror he's got in his house then, the funhouse mirror, and just get a real mirror.
Well, why do you think he's taking a year off? One to
play. Or how about this?
Two.
Take all the mirrors in your house out.
He's got to get that face chiseled a little more.
That's not possible.
You'd be surprised.
He's still handsome, even with the work. He's still handsome.
I watched the Grammys. It's possible. You can chisel some more.
Did you see Madonna?
No.
Yeah, totally different person.
Oh, my God. This looks like a cat person. She does. Did you see it?
I have not, but I've seen pictures from leading up to it. It's not good.
No.
Like, who's telling people that this is actually, you look more...
Look at her. Look at her.
Like a different person, right?
Like, who tells her that you look good?
She does.
Because, Waddle, you probably thought back in the day she was hot, right?
Yeah, she's very attractive.
How do you think Madonna's worth? She's got $1 billion. No one's going to tell her no.
Yeah.
Oh, plenty of people tell her no.
I want more stuff in my face. Okay, here's more stuff in your face.
No one says no to these
people. If you step into, like, into a cosmetic place, yes, they're not going to deny you service. I'm just telling her, friends and family.
Oh, they're not going to tell her.
No one says no.
Here's the deal. No one should have to tell you. No one should have to tell you looking at that picture.
I mean, look at the difference here with the material girl and now this. Look at that.
It's just awful.
It's just awful.
I mean, it's same thing with Brady. Why wreck something that is, you know, it's a good-looking guy? Leave it alone.
Peen pics.
Again, you just like saying the words.
I do.
I like hearing it. It's funny. It makes me laugh.
It's an underrated word, isn't it?
Peen pick.
It sounds so innocent.
Is a peen pick a pick that is not totally nude?
Yeah, it's not.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like you're not upset by it. You're like, okay.
You got underwear.
Yeah, you're like, it's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
It's non-threatening.
It's not nudity.
No.
It's a peen pick, though.
Yeah.
Send him a peen pick.
No, you send him a peen pick.
That's the other kind.
That was weird. What do you mean? Send him a
peen pick. That's the Favre kind. I don't want the Favre kind.
What are you telling me to send him a picture of me in my underwear?
You think his face is red?
I don't know what that means either.
Oh, that was weird. Black and Abdallah, guys, we got that late. Black and Abdallah coming up next. Thank you to Barstool, Big Cat.
It's not red.
Nick Friedel. Michael Wilbon.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Tyler Oxley, Jeff Miller, thank you for Waddling Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night.